Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I know you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Cash. Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want
we give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, hello out there. It is Tele Tuesday. And congratulations to all you voters out there. I know you went to the polls. You selected and made your voice be heard out there. Congrats, congrats, congrats. It's all about happiness, okay? No matter. You know, happiness doesn't exist on the far side of the distant mountains. It is within you, yourself, not, however, sitting in an idle, passive position. It is to be found in the vibrant dynamism of your own life as you struggle to challenge and overcome one obstacle after another, as you clamber up a perilous ridge in pursuit of that which lies behind. So we have to keep moving out here. You exercise your voices. I got a lot of messages that came back. Hey, I did it, I did it, I did it. And I could call back and say, yay, I did it, I did it, I did it. But in the end, we're going to all come together in a uniform way and say, we did it. Because, see, it takes all of us to make these changes out here. We're all change agents. But when you do the right thing, when you exercise your voice, you become a change maker. This evening we have Miss Stephanie Haynes coming on with us. You know she is the author of The Healing of the Wounds. Stephanie's a very, very, very busy lady. She's in and out of the community. Many, many things that she does. We're still on that trauma series. We're on that series. We're talking about trauma and mental health. And she is the one that will have you with arthritis in your hands, because get out those pads, get out those pencils, because you know you're getting ready to find out some information. But before she comes on, let me just give you something to wake you up about. Welcome in to Waking Up with Linda McShann and Stephanie Haynes.
Why? Talk to me.
Oh.
gotta jump through it. I'm in a hurry, there's love to get. Now here we go, I jump through it.
Jump through it.
Oh,
jump through it.
Ooh. That's right, we want to continue to jump through it, get on those trampolines, whatever you need to do. Jump to your greater self. And on that note, we're going to bring in Stephanie Haynes with us this evening. Stephanie, how are you?
Good evening, Linda. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay over here. Okay, don't get talking about happiness and what we need to do and how it comes from within. Congratulating all the voters that got out there and exercised their power today. I cannot wait. And so it's over to see what happens. What did we decide out there? What's going to be the next step? And the last thing before I give it over to you is to tell you how much we appreciate you for taking our time to come in here and share with us. So there you go. Welcome with us, Stephanie. Where are we talking? We still on this trauma thing, right? Trauma is a deep subject. And I'm going to let you tell us about it.
Well, good evening, listeners. I hope everything and everyone is well. And I left two questions for last week. And we talked about, you know, how you being present and why. So did you have any feedback from the questions, Ms. Linda?
Well, I did get a few calls to come in for, you know, as far as how are you being present and why do you feel that? And I got a call from Kamisha from Las Vegas. You know, she's always going to check in. And she said, you know, her presence is like basically staying focused and listening. You know, that's very, very important. When you're in dialogue with someone, you have to really, really stay focused and listen to what they're saying. That shows that that's putting you in your present stage. And she does that because she wants to express to those who are expressing to her how she cares, okay? So that's the information that I got back from Kamisha. And I'd like to answer the question for myself. How am I being present? I'm staying focused. And, you know, it's like it's hard out here. Gasoline, food, everything. People are just like losing their minds and that, all this stuff that's going on. So how do you stay present? You have to be able to stand in the middle and square yourself like a redwood tree. And you hear it, you're around it, it's in your environment, but you don't have to be of it. You just have to continue. I stay there so I can continue my inner happiness. And I need inner happiness so that I can show others from within to get in that state also. So those are my answers to that. Kamisha and myself. Did we hit the button?
Oh.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So, you know, living with awareness of our purpose in life is living with presence. It's the opposite of living with autopilot. So we talked about that last week and the week before last, not being on autopilot. Right? So research with Frank Martella and Michael Sturgeon described it in this way. Now, the effectiveness of a given purpose relies upon its scope, its strength, and its presence. Now, it's not uncommon to live on autopilot for years, perhaps in pursuit of goals that one may sense for us but no longer do. Now, present is the key to getting in touch with what's meaningful to us right now. Right now, what's meaningful to us is getting out there to vote. So I hope everybody went out and vote, right? So present and purpose can center us when our expectations aren't met, or when some other challenges arise. Now, here's an example. Now, for many years, this individual was running a business, and when that person returned from their business trip, several days, and was looking forward to going for a walk with his son. As soon as he got home, but when he arrived, he didn't want to go out for a walk. He prefers to draw on his newsprint pad. Now he had imagined the image, future that was not to be. So fortunately, he took a moment to get back in touch with the present. And with his large purpose, once he took another moment to reconnect to his purpose, to be an enlarged and loving parent, he could feel more at ease. Now, after a few minutes, calmer, and both of them enjoy drawing and hanging out together. Because sometimes you can be with your children in body, but not in mind and spirit. You're not present. You're just there. And then that's when you're beginning to become agitated and telling the child, shut up, be quiet. If you're going to be in here in this space with me, be quiet, opposed to engaging with them. All right? So now, seeking versus having a purpose in life. Now, within psychology, literature, or purpose or meaning, two components are discussed. A, search for, and B, present of. I'm going to repeat that. A, search for, and B, present of. Now, the reason for this is that they are associated with different outcomes in age groups. The search for purpose is usually associated with well-being, primary in adolescent and elderly adults. Rich research shows spans more years than ever before. Now, perhaps in our early 30s, and at my age during time of transition in our lives, whereas the present of purpose is associated with well-being across the lifespan. Now, researchers suggest that adolescents and young adults need only to feel that they have the will, as in the driver or the motivation. Now, to reach their ultimate aim, that is, they don't need to believe they know how to go about doing so in order to feel satisfied with their lives. So that changed later in young adults. However, when the relationship between purpose and life satisfaction is mediated by the belief that we have the will and know the way to reach our ultimate aim. Simply put, now by adulthood, it becomes important to have not only a will, but a way for achieving one's goals in life. Now, not surprisingly, studies confirm that high level of search for purpose and meaning with low levels of presence are associated with more anxiety and general stress. I'm going to read that again. Study confirms that high level of search for purpose and meaning with low level of presence are associated with more anxiety and general strength. Meaning that you're looking outside of yourself. If you just sit quiet with yourself and tell you your purpose in life. I always tell everybody, everything you need or every desire is within you. You just have to cultivate it within yourself. We were born with everything. There's no lack. Now, as we all hopefully enjoy longer health spans, there's more likelihood and opportunity that even before we ever reach that, we will find ourselves searching for new purpose in life well beyond adolescence and young adulthood. Now, many of us will have several careers and more than one partner or family during our longer lifespan. We will also have more opportunity to pursue new interests and undertake projects that will provide meaning for us. We will make these life changes, and we will take more talk about more changes as I go on, right? So we will likely find ourselves seeking a new purpose, which will ultimately need to be accomplished by or not only finding that purpose, but having a way to realize. Now, one study of nine enders, this is individual ending a decade at the age of 29, 39, 49. Now, found that sense that tends to focus more on aging, they likely report more searching for meaning in life. Why? Not always harbored and dynamic mentally. Now, merely having a purpose, that is, present a purpose, is not enough. Now, what accounts for feeling a sense of well-being is having the ability to take steps or to at least know the steps that we can take to connect us to our purpose. In other words, we need to have a plan or take action in the directions of fulfillment of our purpose. Now, coherence is an aspect of meaning that scientists also call our autobiography narrative. Now, it basically means making sense of our lives or knowing our life story. We are always trying to know and make sense of our own narrative. Remember, we are the writers, the directors, and the producers of life. After all, we are called the Homo sapiens. Spacium, the one who knows and knows we know. We could, however, just as accurately be called the one who tells stories. Knowing our narrative helps us make sense of both where we've been and where we're going. Together, our sense of self forms the past, the present, and the future. Now, once we become aware of our own story, we can begin to realize and appreciate our unique potential, move out of our own way, and embrace our purpose in life. Now, what is your story? Now, figuring out your life story starts with looking to your past and future. Now, this is the kind of intentional mental time travel I mentioned earlier that serves us well. We can't fully live in the present without having harnessed this amazing ability that our brain have to look at our past in order to understand it, how it relates to our present and our future, all lugging past burdens around with us. Now, counterintuitive as it may seem, to be fully in the present, we need to have a solid command of not only our past, but also our anticipated future. Now, purpose help us make sense of where we've been, where we are going, trying together our sense of past, present, and future self. Now, it's only in looking at our past that we can truly make sense of our lives. As Steve Jobs said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So, you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something your gut, destiny, your life, karma, whatever it may be. As we look back at our lives, seemingly desperate pairs are often seems to be connected to a thread of self-organizing the central aim which we gravitate towards and value that connects our narrative and within which we find our meaning and purpose in life. Now take a moment right now to think about two or three chapters of your life that didn't seem to fit together at the time, but now in hindsight, you can see how they may be related or coherent. Now, if we have not been able to make sense of our life experiences, including our early life, then our narrative will feel fragmented. This is important because the past could be limited our perspective when it comes to anticipating the future. We sometimes live with an imprisoning perspective. Now, making sense of the past is essential to being free of judgment in the present and being liberated so that we may continue to live consistent with our purpose. All right. So now we're going to talk about the health benefits. Now, we are all familiar with the health risks of tobacco use, poor diet, inactivity, bad stress, and other lifestyle factors that contribute to roughly half of the disease and early death. But have you heard anything about the health risks associated with an absence of purpose or meaning in life? Currently, research shows that a lack of purpose in our life is contributing at least as much to our disease and premature death as these other factors. Take me a sip of water. Now imagine a new drug on the market that make us robust so that we will live longer, enjoy a happy old age, better retain our memory, and become likely to not only survive a scary diagnosis, but thrive. Sounds too good to be true. Interesting is knowing more. As it turns out, it isn't a new miracle drug. It's purpose. Researchers show that some of the health benefits of living with purpose, including adding years to your life, reducing risk of heart attacks and strokes, cutting the risk of Alzheimer's disease by more than half, repairing our chromosomes, increasing good cholesterol, and helping us to relax during the day and sleep better at night. Now, research on meaning and purpose has its roots in the experience of the Vietnamese psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, the Holocaust survivor and concentration camp prisoner. Frankl detailed his experience and his memoir, Man's Search for Meaning, and is widely credited with bringing attention to meaning in life and psychology with his development of logotherapy. Logotherapy, that's meaning therapy. Now, in the concentration camp, Frankl noticed that his fellow prisoners who had a sense of meaning showed greater resilience to torture, slave labor, starvation, than those who did not have a sense of meaning. He found some explanations for this in the words of the Friedrich to the effect of those who have a why to live can bear almost anything. You have to have that why. Now, a strong sense of purpose is also associated with greater meaning in life, happiness, self-esteem, and the ability to view goals, pursuits as challenges rather than threats. Furthermore, as journalist Barbara Rary points out in Life Reimagined, purpose in life is more important than education or wealth and determining long-term health and happiness. Let me drink some water. Excuse me. Hold on. Now, no matter our age, with purpose, we have the ability to process negative information in a more positive way because we are better able to view life challenges within a larger context. Now, let's move into purpose in our work. And listeners, I hope you're really writing this down. Because we think our work and our purpose is too big. Study at the University of Michigan Health System assess sense of purpose in hospital cleaners and found that those who felt part of the medical team showed greater job satisfaction and a deeper psychological connection to their work. Now, there is a relationship between how coworkers make individuals feel about their work and the individual's sense of self-worth. Not just in some settings, but in the workplace. in general, individuals appreciate recognition and being valued as part of a larger team. Now, I encounter several examples of women around the world who have switched jobs in order to have more purpose in their work. You know, I interviewed three women, and all of whom now work for a major hospital and previously had careers in advertising, hospitality, and finance. Respectively, one woman described the difference she experienced in her new position this way. I was feeling claustrophobic at the bank. Now, everyone around me is trying to change something that really matters to our patients, different world. I'm feeling my soul through my work, which has never been possible before. Now, many of the women whom I interviewed from dual careers, family talks about the necessary trade-off between work and home life. So what I heard constantly is that something just has to slide. And the most important thing is the kids to be happy and safe. And her life and her wife both worked and have two school-age kids. Consulting business required that she travel out of the town, at least once a month. Now, upon returning from a recent trip, she was able to keep herself from asking her wife why the apartment was such a mess. Kept in mind that their kid was doing great, and that is what's the most important to her. So when she asked, the law professor and leader in the field of inclusive pedagogy about her purpose in life, she said that she sees it too late. On a micro level, having experienced trauma early in life, her purpose is to further her own healing. But, she quickly added, I've always felt that my life was not meant to be just for myself. Mm-hmm. And that whatever I might learn about healing would be something that I could offer and would, in any case, be a benefit to others. Now, she went to explain that on a macro level, her purpose revolves around the work she does to provide doorways to mindfulness for those whom she teaches and to make our various communities more inclusive. Now, including organizations around the United States, she has noticed an increased awareness on the part of not only minority groups, but members of the majority population as well. Now, of the importance of supporting more diversity and inclusiveness, the call for more awareness on everyone's part to use her words. Any question, Ms. Linda?
Nope, I'm just over here. I'd like the, you know, I'm jotting down over here. I'd like the the topic that you're on now about purpose and work and the type of blend that it is and what it does. And I definitely noted the health benefits, you know, what can happen with the lack of purpose and what you can acquire when you have a purpose out there. I have no questions. I'm just over here listening with my pencil and pad. You know, I get arthritis over here when you come on. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're going to move on dispelling the myth. Right? You know, there's myth out there.
Yes.
Ever more people today have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. Ever more people today have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. They're just mm-hmm. living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, dispelling the myth. You may be thinking that the health benefit of purpose, as well as the example I just, you know, read to you, all sounds good. But you aren't yet convinced that having a purpose is within your reach. It may seem daunting, but I'll be dispelling three of the most common myths about purpose as identified by research Belaine and teaching for purpose. Myth number one. I hope you're writing this down. Purpose requires passion. A popular mantra or message is likely familiar to you is find your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often only to young adults but throughout our lives. However, our purpose need not be something we are passionate about. That doesn't mean that our purpose isn't what matters most to us. It just means that it can be uncoupled from passion. Now, the innovators, Bill Burnett and David Evans, found that 80% of people of all ages are unable to identify a passion or are still able to pursue a purposeful path. So, you need not find something you are passionate about in order to have a purpose. Of course, you may find that you are passionate about what to constitute purpose for you, as the two concepts are not mutually exclusive. Belaine explains, although it's great if our purpose is something we're passionate about, it does not have to be experienced as that level of intensity or the narrow to a single consuming interest. When the flame of purpose once ignites, burn steadily and act as a guiding light. It does not flash and burn out quickly as passion often do. Myth number two. Purpose is one and done. We need not seek or have just one purpose to last our entire lifetime. In fact, since we are often highly engaged simultaneously in many different roles or activities, we may not only have different purposes that may change over time, but add new ones. Nonetheless, it is the nature of purpose to endure at least long enough for us to commit to it by taking action and usually to make progress toward accomplishing it. Now, our capacity to change our life purpose needed enable us to continue experiencing the benefit of a meaningful life, because having purpose is not only exhilarating, but also motivating for the furthering lifelong learning. Now, often pivoting or making changes, accompanying, seeing, and sustaining our purpose as we move through life. We'll be talking about pivoting, you know, later on in the talk. All right, so purpose is a luxury only for the privileged. Like present, purpose is a natural resource that is available to us 24/7 and is free. No special equipment or resources are required in order to find purpose in our lives. Even if we are facing a challenge in life, struggling to make ends meet. In fact, purpose can be especially helpful in seeing us through in times of hardship. Now, Malang puts it in this way. Most positive psychologists argue that purpose is an important asset that supports resiliency, thriving, and optimal development. If anything, purpose is most useful to those who face hardship, and it should be encouraged as a necessity of life rather than a luxury.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, if any of these myths rings true to you, hopefully you can now take the first step in having purpose, which is finding what matters most to you. Now we're going to go into finding our purpose in life. Now, when it comes to finding our purpose, we find the need to identify our values, which are influenced by a variety of factors, including our country, our education, the people around us, and people whom we admire. Purpose arises out of what provides meaning for us and what we value. The World Value Survey, a global research project that regularly studies values and benefits, 70,000 people from 51 countries to rank values such as independence, wealth, security, pleasure, giving to society, helping others, the environment, and traditions. Now, one of the consistencies, the highest ranking value across all countries and incomes was helping others. Now, here are a few questions that might assist you in finding your purpose in life. Would you write this down? What's most important to you? What do you value in life? What do you look up to? I mean, who do you look up to? And what gets you up in the morning? I'm going to read those questions soon. What's the most important to you? What do you value in life? Who do you look up to? And what gets you up in the morning? Now, considering the answer to these questions for the various roles you play will allow you to articulate your purpose and what matters most in your life. Now, we may not need to look too far for our purpose, as it's often found within a fitting with which we are familiar. So that's how it works. Now, one of the most influential women in the healthcare today who pioneered the evaluation of medical care plans after 5 years as a respiratory therapist in a hospital, Peggy came to have a good understanding of what's wrong with our health care system and what needs to be done about it. Now, this is Peggy O'Kane, right? So she looked around and felt that she had something to contribute in the field of quality assurance and realized that for these next phases of our career, her purpose was to help employers, consumers, evaluate health care plans. So O'Kane said she would help in setting up her company. Since being neither a man nor a doctor, she was underestimated. Now, after 30 years in her field, Peggy has no plans to retire, has more fun every day. Now, on the other hand, purpose may emerge through circumstances and change that would change that we never could have imagined. Now, just before she passed away, I had the privilege of interviewing Marie, a gentle, soft-spoken, second-generation Japanese-American in her mid-80s, with a twinkle in her eyes, but a little bit of sadness about her. Perhaps I've seen this because I know of her interment at the Jerome War Reclamation Center in Arkansas during World War II. Now, Maria was one of the nearly 120,000 people of Japanese descent affected just days prior to the start of the war. Her two older sisters went to Japan to visit their grandparents. And once the war broke out, they had to stay in Japan, separated from the rest of the family in California. Maria was just 15 when the war ended. But she decided that she didn't want to live in a country that hadn't interred her based on her ethnicity. So, she decided to move to Japan to reunite with her sister. Now, unbeknownst to Maria, her sister was simultaneously making their way back to California. So, once in Japan, Maria was ostracized and not accepted as a real Japanese, since she was unfamiliar with the language, the customs, and the culture, she never felt like a part of Japanese society until she became an English teacher at the YMCA at Hiroshima. When she went on to become chair of the English department. Maria was the only native English speaker in the school when she arrived. Now, there are dozens thanks to the regarding interest in the English as a second language, which is called the ESL, Education in Japan. Now, she felt like a queen. She was the expert. Finally, she went home, and she had found one of her life purposes, to be the best English teacher she could be for her highly motivated, having taught in her department for 3 years. She knows her students remain grateful for the inspiration of teaching. Now you may be thinking to yourself, this is early said than done, easier said than done. When I supposed to find the time to find my purpose, remember, it's not that you'll be pulling it out of the thin air. You will look at what is already in your life, your values, your goals, and what's meaningful to you, and go from there. When we are doing about a cause, when we are doing nothing about a cause, we feel strongly about, we feel overwhelmed and powerless. Now, on the other hand, once we get involved and take small steps, over time, we found a sense of meaning and accomplishment. Now, your purpose can be changed, updated, expanded, contracted, or refined as you move through your life stages. Now, purpose are not necessarily one and villain. Although they can be, and as mentioned earlier, we likely have a different purpose for each of the various facets of our life. Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by the lack of meaning and purpose. How are we doing on time, Ms. Linda?
Oh, we have a few minutes left. You can take it on out. Yeah, keep going, keep going. I always like to extend on you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm in with the top five regrets of dying.
Okay.
All right, so you may be wondering what dying has to do with seeking or having purpose. Let's fast forward to the end of our lives and considering what we don't want to regret is another way of illuminating our purpose.
Mm.
Okay, so regret number one, and I hope you're writing this down. Okay, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life of others expect of me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expect of me. Does that sound familiar? You may recall that, if, you know, when I talked earlier on presence, we discussed the importance of creating our own narrative, free to the greatest extent possible from expectations or judgment of others and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key thing to keep in mind when seeking our purpose is knowing and believing that the answer lies within us.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to give ourselves the time and space to consider what has meaning for us. That's not only given how busy we are and how much we automatically rely on outside sources to guide us, including social media and Google. We'll be talking more about social media and the internet later on in the session. Now, Michelle Obama had the following thoughts about Barack a few months after they first met, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, his inborn confidence was admirable, of course, but honestly, try living with it for more coexistent with Barack, strong sense of purpose, sleeping in the same bed with it, sitting at the breakfast table with it, was something to which I had to adjust. Not because he flunked exactly, but because it was so alive. She then wrote on the first page of her journal, "One, I feel very confused about where I want my life to go. What kind of person do I want to be? Now, how do I want to contribute to the world? Two, I'm getting very serious in my relationship with Barack, and I feel that I need to get a better handle on myself." Around the same time, Michelle realized the following. Somehow, in all my years of school, I hadn't managed to think through my own passion and how they might match up with work I found meaningful. Now, as a young person, I explore exactly nothing. Now, this may ring true for many of us, as we often come to this important exploration later in life. Regret number two. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This one may also sound familiar, as we've talked about not getting caught up in a single all-consuming pursuit, such as our work, to the exclusion of other parts of our lives. Regret number three. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings.
Okay.
Now, either good experience or sensing is crucial and can only happen when we are in a state of presence.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, when we manage to step out of our thought loop and get in touch with our scene, assessing our feelings is the first step in expressing them.
Mm-hmm.
Regret number four. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. It isn't easy to maintain our friendship, especially when we are in the midst of demanding years, pursuing our careers, raising children, or attending to any other all-consuming responsibility that we have. Now, Bonnie Ware summarized the value of friends this way. History and understanding are what friendship offers. Life gets busy and friendship fades away. There will always be people who comes and goes in your life, friends included. But those who truly matter, those whom we love most dearly, are worth every ounce of effort to stay in touch with. Mm-hmm. Science now confirms the importance of maintaining our friendship for our health and well-being. Loneliness is more harmful to our well-being than smoking. In fact, not having strong social connections represents a greater health risk and is as destructive to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Step number five. I wish I had let myself be happier. We started our discussion on purpose talking about a certain kind of happiness in which we enjoy a state of the undermanian or the flourishing from pursuing long-term goals that provide purpose to our lives. Now, I trust that by this point, you are getting a strong sense of how happiness is connected to your purpose by taking the time to get in touch with what meaningful for us lead us to our purpose, which is what optimism makes us happy. We'll read a quote and end here. The most regretful people on earth were those who felt called to creative work, who felt their own creative power rested and uprising and gave to it neither power nor time. This is by Mary Oliver. All right, Miss Linda.
Well, you know, I've been over here writing. I wrote down those regrets, a few of them I don't think I'll have. And that one is I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. You know, I will never have a regret about that one. Okay. I put a big star there. Yeah, because, you know, that's my happiness. To express my feelings, because see that you got to let it out, you know. And what I like about us speaking of purpose and evaluating and how we look at things and how purpose goes is that it really makes you sit back and think, because that purpose does change. It moves into a different direction. It's still purpose, but it's moving to a different direction. But I kind of like those five, you know. I know the five regrets. You know, the Lord life teach me. I don't have a problem with that either, so that won't be on my regret list. I learned that at six. Okay, it's all about it. You know, that's probably, you know, where you get misunderstood a lot of times, because others want you to be who they want you to be, but it won't work with me. It just won't work. But that was part of the early age, and I teach my youth to step into their greatness and stay there. But don't forget to take others with you. You know, it's all about you and yourself. So those two things there, I put some real big check marks by. So I'm going to share this out. And I always talk to the young adults about it, you know, as far as finding purpose. And I love the word of quality assurance. See, if you're a solution maker, see, some people get those things mixed up. But if you're about solution, you also have to know about quality assurance. Don't they go both together, right? Can you kind of touch on that for a minute about that quality assurance before we end this? Because I put big check marks by that, quality assurance, and then I put underneath and solutions because they go hand in hand. Can you kind of like tie that into our topic as far as how I can create stress or no stress, what we do, what we don't do? Quality assurance, you spoke about it. You know, as mm-hmm. far as getting down, you have to have a quality assurance. And I guess I view it as when you're doing that check back, when you're doing that check back from past, present to future. See, people say, oh, forget the past. And then you know, you need the past because the past is your reminder. Your past is your button. How can you see where you've grown if you forget the past? That I could never understand. And then when you made the statement, quality assurance, that kind of shit on that. Leave us with that, the meaning of that or how we ensure that, because you must have quality assurance in order to find a solution. Talk to us, Stephanie. I like to put you on the spot because, you know, I like to flip you like you fit me.
Uh-huh. You know, the most important thing, as you stated before, you know, really understanding your past.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then understanding your past, because you know, there's a saying, if you don't know your past, you don't know where you're going.
If you don't know what, say that again.
You don't know where you're going. And
that's
just
right.
Like not knowing your family's history.
Yes.
Of, you know, your making sure that you know the health issues within your family is very important. You know,
yes.
The mental state of your family is very important.
Yeah.
You know, knowing the legacy of your family is very important.
Yes.
What did your family stood for is very important.
Yes. Yes.
So that means
no
that
question.
You have to go back and research generations and generations,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really find out why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
What is your purpose and your mission here? You know, as I mm-hmm. stated before earlier, that having more than one purpose, it's okay.
Sure it is.
To have more than one purpose.
Sure it is.
All right?
Definitely.
And also, you know, and having that quality assurance that you really know, you know, because sometimes we can be so passive in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But have that quality of what that you have before you, and that ensures that, hey, I'm gonna have the resiliency to go through this.
Yes.
And have that
yes.
and have that understanding of what my purpose is.
Yes. Yes.
And when you
and
have
then,
that quality and when you have that quality insurance, then you can
uh-huh.
live in the present.
Definitely. Definitely. And I guess I will end this with when I hear the word quality assurance, I hear, as you say, go into the family, know the history, know the legacy, know from which you came from. But quality assurance to me is exercising those excellent principles that you have. Okay, that's quality assurance for me. I always refer
mm-hmm.
to that principle. See, I'm a principle person. And as through through life being given that type of information, you know, we come through it. But you always reflect back on the past, because sometimes, you know, before we move into the next level, because it's not that you're being judgmental toward anyone. It's like you're looking for, as you mentioned earlier, that environment, you know, the ID, your values, your education, your environment you're around. That's your principle. So when I hear quality assurance, I flash back on to the principle, because that's the checkpoint. That's your checking point. And only you can check that out. So therefore, you cannot live anything other than true to yourself, because you're only moving on your principles. Everybody got different principles, because we're all different out here. But I love the topic. I love, you know, the stories about the school teacher, how she felt. Purpose means a lot. When you get up in the morning and you're working on a project, you feel real good. When you're working on that project, it might not be at completion point, but you're constantly staying in the present so you can move it, you know. Or if you're having an event, you do a lot of events. That's you got several purposes going in and out of there, and several personalities too. But it's still, your purpose is to have a successful event, okay? And whatever it takes to get that going, and you need to have those think-alikes around you. Everyone has to be on that page, and it's hard to do, okay? But because you know how to look back at the past and see what didn't work 10 years ago, you know how to go in there and don't do that now. Because as long as I've known you, you've always been an event person, okay? Totally. In the community, out of the community, whipping it together. Oh, you know I know. Okay, so I have ultimate. You in any event that you're a part of, any organization you're a part of, they're very, very fortunate to have you. Okay, because I know who the blame is. I know where it all starts. So sometimes we people don't know about the quality. They don't know about recognizing quality. But quality assurance is very important, and we must reflect back into the past so that we can see where we're going and where we are now. You have to have that past. People always say, well, that used to happen. That's set in stone. That's a basics there. And you always have to move from that, because that's your gauge. So quality assurance to me is a word that has stuck out, sticking out with don't have those regrets, which, you know, a lot of these I didn't write down because I don't fall in that category. Those two about, especially living the life that the others want you to live, I don't have a problem with that. Work hard, I kind of like that one, but because when you do that, they tell you working hard. No, you don't work hard, you work smart, okay? And I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. You know that don't apply to me. And I just like this, and I wish I would have stayed in touch with friends. You know, I build relationships, and I like to keep them, and I keep them for years because I'm going to always reach out. Sometimes you get a little despondent. I'm always reading. But if you sit back and you forget to do it, then they reach out to you. Relationships are very important. But every relationship is not going to last, and you can't take everybody with you, you know. But as long as you have those beautiful memories and you think about them every now and then, you might touch bases every now and then, because people change, people grow. People do many, many other things. And I like the idea about, I wish I would let myself be happy. We don't have a problem with that, because we're going to be happy no matter what. Okay, it's an inside job. And you got the microscope to go in there and fire it up. Lighten those candles for others makes our path brighter and lighter. So we know that trick. But on that note, Stephanie Haynes, author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart. What are we going to stick with this for next week? I got these questions out here again. Are we still, because all of this is related to trauma. So shall I keep putting trauma back, or where are we going for next week?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, we are actually ending this section next week.
Okay.
Yeah, so next week we're going to go in to talk about self-care.
Okay.
You know. You know, when you go through trauma, it's very important for the self-care.
It is.
So we're going to go finishing up with that.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know, listeners. I was cutting you off. What did you say?
Oh, and once we finish that session next week, then we're going to go into the seven chakras. Your favorite.
Oh, goodness. I'm getting ready to plug that out there now because you know you got that request for all of us. When you talk about those chakras, it's a different kind of ball game. So, yes. Okay, we'll end this next week. We'll end our trauma series and go into self-care because after you go through it and come back to your own, that's something that we must do. And I'd just like to say to you again, congratulations on your community endeavors. I always say that. Congratulations. I know there's an event coming up. Is it on the 18th? What's the Purple Wellness? When is it coming? What day is that? I have the flyer that I'm...
Wellness event?
Yes, Purple Wellness.
Oh, yes. It's Saturday, the 18th.
The 18th, okay. I got the address. I'll post that out. I have the flyer. I have that, and it's still the wellness, but it's called Purple Wellness. I like that, and it's going to have lots of set up, excellent food, healing information, healers, massagers, just a lot of things, anything that you can tie into wellness. I'll put the address out there. Is it 56? I don't have it. I don't want to just say something incorrect, but listeners, I'll get it out there to you. Saturday 18th, it starts at what time?
At 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Okay. It's called Purple Wellness. I just love that. This was something that was going to happen, but due to some setbacks that had to change out, but it's still going on. You want to know about wellness. You want to know about yourself. You want to be about good people. Anything that you need to do to make self-improvement, please go by that event. But I will put it out there, and we'll talk about it again. Next Tuesday, that would give us a week and a half before it starts. Am I correct? So we can mention that next week and be prepared to, like, give us some more, a big summary on it when we come on. We love you over here. We appreciate you. We want you to have a lovely, lovely evening. And we don't want any regrets when we go back. So the past and the present actually speaks the future. So you must reflect back so you can know from where you came and have an opportunity to see how fast you're moving into where you need to go. Is that a good way to put it, Stephanie?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All right. Listener Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Womb, we love you. Have a great evening out there. We'll be back on with Think Thursday. We don't know what we're going to have you think about. Last week we gave you music to listen to. Just depends. The schedules are opening up. So I will keep you posted on what's happening. And again, congratulations to all you change makers out there who went to those polls. Let's see what happens. Stephanie, thank you. We love you.
Love you too. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. Oh, yes, there can be miracles when you believe, though hope is it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracle you can achieve when you believe somehow you will. You will when you believe.
Before we go, we want to tell you winners out there in the primary, you're going to have to do this, okay? Sit in mind. You must do this. Have a good evening.
Showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love.